Hello, everybody. This is Funk McLovin with another Patreon-exclusive video. Oh, I'm sorry, this is not a video. This is an audio file. If you're listening to this later on YouTube, then consider listening to this while you're cleaning or driving or doing something else. I want to talk about the politics of Homestuck. And politics is a very broad term, and I think you could approach this from any angle, but I want to approach this from the angle of Homestuck and anti-authoritarianism. Now, anti-authoritarianism is by no means a new concept, especially in Western literature. However, I think Homestuck's anti-authoritarian message is very well thought out, surprisingly. I don't necessarily know if it's well executed, but I think there's a lot here that we can sort of learn from. Specifically, I want to talk about the historical context that Homestuck released during. Homestuck was released during the Obama administration when liberalism, and I'm talking about formal liberalism in terms of the sort of Reaganite, capitalist, small government liberalism, was sliding out of fashion, especially in the Democratic Party. Liberalism, broadly speaking, could be defined as a policy of fiscal conservatism and social progressivism optional. Nowadays, we see liberalism acted out through the Republican and Democrat Party in the U.S., with one wing of the liberals, the Democrats, who essentially want to have, you know, means testing and a lot of guardrails around social programs, but they're still in favor of social programs nominally. And then we have the moderate Republicans, who would consider themselves liberals, who are more in favor of small government, laissez-faire, you know, proto-libertarian, who basically consider, you know, we just need to sort of pull the levers and keep this thing going. The Democrats in America are pro-capital and pro-regulation. This is in contrast with other working-class parties like the UK Labour Party, which you can actually be a part of. You cannot be part of the Democratic Party in the same way you can be part of the UK Labour Party. Progressives also contrast with the modern Democrats. This is, you know, the 1900s Democrats or the FDR-style sort of social welfare programs for the betterment of society-style Democrats. Bill Clinton was the first real liberal president. A lot of people want to cite Reagan. I think he was more of a libertarian. The difference is pretty nominal, pretty negligible. But Bill Clinton, to me, heralded this post-Reagan response. Why do people dislike liberals, and why are they involved in Homestuck? The Republicans in the U.S. are more traditionally laissez-faire and had libertarian sentiments, and Democratic voters began to have oppositions to their party ideology. This created a lot of tension in both parties. There were a lot of people who were no longer felt they were represented by these parties. Democrats seemed anti-union as opposed to how they were perceived before. They were anti-labor, and they let down certain equal rights causes, such as the gay rights movement in the early 2000s and the trans movement today. This skepticism is reflected in Homestuck, mostly through ironic detachments from Obama, as well as, surprisingly, the planet before us. Next, I want to talk about a little bit of Homestuck and the internet, because I think Homestuck's ideology is mired in the politics of the internet of the, especially, late 2000s. In the wake of Obama, there were different reactions to the narrowing of politics. There were two main reactions to this, 4chan and Tumblr. And if you're more interested in the 4chan-Tumblr dichotomy, which sounds kind of like a conspiracy theory, but there's a lot of compelling literature about it. There's a book called Kill All Normies by Angela Nagel, and there's a book called Trust the Plan by Will Sommer, which covers the QAnon movement. They both talk about how just deeply the internet affected politics the world over. And it's kind of upsetting to realize that the internet is so influential in politics, especially in the early days. 4chan's response to liberalism was essentially to turn away from democratic political correctness and identity politics, and they embraced inflammatory ideologies, like on the Poll Politically Incorrect board and R9K, which is sort of an edgy, you know, board. Don't go there. You see a lot of Reddit atheists migrating to this 4chan style of new politics, where they have a politics of irreverence at any cost. So you have them purporting Nazi ideologies, probably in earnest, but they part of the reason they do that is because they think it is inflammatory and therefore good. They've replaced their sort of locus of quality with a locus of, you know, crudeness. I think that's interesting. Tumblr was the polar opposite. They embraced identity politics entirely and a style of leftism with more emphasis on humanism and equity than historical leftist movements focusing on labor. They were militantly in favor of intersectionalism. And for all the good that intersectionalism does, I think there is a lot of skepticism worth having of identity politics and how it is used against people as a cudgel instead of to lift people up. For instance, identity politics is mostly invoked not when someone is being an exemplar or someone, you know, needs help, but when you need to bring someone down by saying, you know, you're marginalizing this group by doing X, Y, and Z. And in some cases, that's correct, but I think any culture that talks about the be-all and end-all of their identity is identity politics, then you don't really have a solid basis for solidarity. My opinion is the socialist opinion, which is I do believe in intersectionality, and I think that intersectionality, in fact, is one of the most important axes of control, but intersectionality, the most important intersection, if you will, is labor, because labor is what actually moves the needle on anything, and labor is inherently sort of anti-authoritarian, as we'll get into more later. Both groups, the 4chan and Tumblr guys, were lampooned in Homestuck during the open bound sections with a parody of Tumblr, and the trolls were originally sort of this pastiche of Something Awful guys. They were also the troll archetype, I want to be specific, is more like honed in on a very specific subgenre, not subgenre, but subcommunity of people that Hussey was part of. And he kind of opened it up with the Beforest trolls to be just about Tumblr in general. Each Beforest troll, we can see a point of view on the political aims of the day. Beforest and liberalism. One of my good friends called Beforest a liberal hellhole, and I can think of no better summation than that, frankly. Every single bugbear of the overbearing and ineffectual nanny state is taken to its logical conclusion. The Democrats rule the world on Beforest, and it's horrible. Alternia could be called a fascist dictatorship underneath the absentee empress, but Beforest is a little more poignant. Alternia is anti-authoritarian in that it just shows a horrible world under an authoritarian ruler, which is not very difficult. Most dystopian books do this without, you know, a lot of trouble, but Beforest is more interesting in the nuance of it, and I want to get into that in some specific characters, and I want to give a little time to each of them. I can't get into all of them. I think that would broaden the scope of this too much, being an informal speech or lecture or whatever the hell you want to call this. But the first one I want to talk about is Cankri, because Cankri is probably one of the most fascinating forest trolls to me. Actually, before I get into the forest trolls, I want to make a little disclaimer. I think a lot of people dislike the forest trolls because they're more outwardly unpleasant and they have less screen time than the regular trolls, or they feel like bit characters. But I think if you give them a chance, not necessarily like them, you don't have to like them, but if you give them a chance, you might find something that you enjoy, or you might find one of them that you actually like. I used to be a hater until my very good friend Mio got me into the Mean Cree ship. Shout out to Mean Cree. So first I want to talk about Cancri. Cancri is a mutant blood. On Alternia, this means that Karkat would have been hunted and killed, but on Bephorus, his condition, in spite of having no negative physiological effects that we can see, places him in the culling program, where he is forced into a lower class. This leaves him not empowered, but incredibly neurotic and sanctimonious, where he's preaching about and tone-policing others. This is what I was talking about before with this notion of identity politics. It is a condition of learned helplessness. It is a learned helplessness through entire disenfranchisement. It is the world telling you you are helpless over and over and stopping you from doing anything dangerous. Cancri has accepted his conditions, and as such, his revolutionary sentiment that he expressed as the signless in the Alternian universe is totally quashed. I think that's interesting. Someone who has accepted his condition of helplessness through what he perceives as political awareness. And I think, to be fair to Cancri, a lot of his speeches show a great deal of rationalization and rhetoric towards plights of his fellow trolls on Bephorus. The problem is, he is not doing these sermons for the benefit of others. He's doing it for the benefit of himself, and we'll get into that later with another character. The next character I want to talk about is Arania. Arania is probably the second most well-known Bephorus character, one of two that kind of matter in the grand scheme of things. And I'm not actually going to talk about Mina in this video. I don't think I wrote any notes on her. Hang on. No, I think I talk about her during the Condes. But Arania represents what is called the professional managerial class, the PMC. The PMC is understood in modern analysis as a sort of stand-in for the bourgeoisie class who still gets paid wage labor. They are these stooges and cronies for the bourgeois class. Now, Arania, she represents your average PMC stooge, your middle manager, your kind of bank guy, someone who works for a hedge fund, some financier or lawyer or some motherfucker. And she benefits from the system, but she wishes to launder her participation through virtue signaling. A lot of people on Tumblr realized that they were part of a group that was considered oppressive, or they were participating in something that was, you know, reprehensible by the standards of their peers, and they tried to launder that in a lot of ways. For instance, you saw a lot of white people on Tumblr trying to launder their whiteness through either finding some tiny percentage of Indian in their blood or whatever, or, you know, they're trying to be pick-me's. They're trying to be like, okay, you know, I'm white, but I'm not like those other whites. And it's totally fucking disingenuous. It's like trying to launder your own reputation. It's unserious. And this is what virtue signaling originally meant before it was co-opted by right-wing motherfuckers. But they, Arania and her PMC reflections, they have a vested interest in the status quo. And anyone, listen, if you're listening to this and you hear the word vested interest in the status quo, you're probably thinking, that sucks. This is underlined in how cruel and superior Arania acts when she lets go of her morality. She's pretty put together until she meets Vriska and abandons her sense of morality and basically says, yeah, I am superior. I'm going to start enacting my will on others. And this is what is at the center of the PMC ideology. They want to be superior. They want to be the recipients of privilege, but they feel they must launder it somehow. There are a couple legacy publications that are kind of PMC, like writers like David Brooks or career feminists like Hillary Clinton. They seem to believe that the project of equity is over and they are the stewards of privilege. They believe fundamentally that privilege is good, and they believe that because they have privilege. And, you know, there are a lot of writers like Will Menaker, and I can actually only think of Will Menaker because my brain is fucking poisonous, but who abandon their sort of inborn PMC nature and advocate for equity. But there's a lot of people who just really just fucking want to, they want to let you know that they're one of the good ones. The critique of Arania seems to be that these career libs are transparently selfish, transparently guileless. They're the worst combination of a self-aggrandizing and moronic, and they can be seen from any walk of life, basically. The next character I want to talk about is Cronus. And this might shock some people for me to say, but I think Cronus is sort of another lesser side of Arania. They have a lot of parallels, these two. She represents the opportunist of fortune, someone who is born into a fortunate position and wants to launder their superiority. Whereas Cronus, his aims are much simpler, much more straightforward, and I almost say more human. And I want to talk about him specifically because I've known a lot of people like Cronus. Cronus mires himself in the talking points du jour. He knows everything that Porum and Cancri are saying to him, and he attempts to cash in on this goodwill by reflecting this, by basically, virtue signaling to the max. He says he's a kin in Homestuck, and kin at that time especially was sort of understood as this group of people who had a lot of prejudice against them. I don't know anything about kin. I don't want anyone to jump down my ass about this, so I'm going to say as little as I can as possible for fear of putting my foot in my mouth. But kin was something that you could say you were to sort of get out of jail, in a sense. And Cronus invoking this to launder his own reputation to try to get pussy is very apt. I think the irony of Cronus, the irony of Cronus is that unlike Arania, he is not privileged in the PMC sense. He is privileged in Beforeign Society because he's a sea dweller, and sea dwellers are on top of Beforeign Society. But I think if he explored his actual gender, or if he did some circumspect, he might find actual friends or his own identity if he engaged in these things in earnest. I think there's a kernel of like some kind of marginal, you know, LGBT, trans, whatever, in a lot of these fuckboys. Nowadays, you'd call these guys the dangly earring he-theys. And I think that what sucks about those guys is that if they just pushed a little harder, they might be, you know, actually these kind of things. They might have an actual identity that's worth relating to, but they don't. There are many men like Cronus in real life. You all know a Cronus. This is why Cronus is so uniquely hated, because he hits on something that's so ubiquitous. And I love Cronus, unironically. Shout out to Yo, It's Crow. Next one I want to talk about is Porum. And Porum is a fan favorite of my friends, so shoutouts to Porum. I had to talk about her. Porum, unlike her contemporaries, actually seems invested in social justice. And on Tumblr, these would be called SJWs, but she is an actual social justice warrior. She seems actually invested in doing things. She, unlike Cancri, seems to believe in what she preaches. She is doing it for constructive ends, or what she believes are constructive ends. She comes off as sanctimonious to her friends, but her positions and ideas are very well thought out and put together. Porum reflects on the no-bullshit progressive that permeates all of social media. They're uninterested in optics. They're uninterested in personal reputation. And she is a living embodiment of what she preaches. Hussey positions her as one of the few people who actually knows what's going on. She talks about Lord English's shadow patriarchy, and she ends up being entirely correct, even though everyone in the story thinks she's fucking crazy. Because shadow patriarchy is like sounds like a conspiracy theory. I think it's hilarious. Tragically, though, since Porum is disenfranchised as a mid-blooded alterni or a mid-blooded Beforean, she's alienated from a lot of her society. She, unlike Mina or Aranya, is not in a position of meaningful change. And so she is forced to take a back seat. She is forced to be a participant in their schemes. And though she is very principled and seems to know what she's talking about, she has no actual usable power. She also seems aloof to a lot of these efforts. She seems to have been ground down by this society she's in. It's almost like she's jaded, if you will. One of the final characters I want to talk about is the Condess. Actually, the final character I want to talk about. Because the Condess is the one character that we can talk about from Alternia that influences Beforis and, you know, reflects not liberalism, but sort of authoritarian fascism. In terms of formal government and not just political commentary, her imperious condescension is our view into politics. Her imperious condescension is obviously a stand-in for fascism or authoritarianism, made explicit by her many, many comparisons to Hitler. Fascism to the trolls is entirely normal, but goes somewhat underexplored in Homestuck proper. Still, through the imperious condescension, we see a version of dictatorial fascism based on a caste system. And caste systems, to be clear, are still used today. India has a very big problem with caste systems. Through the depiction is not complex, Hussey seems to be expressing the arbitrary nature of most systems of prejudice. The hemospectrum is a system of oppression based on the color of a troll's blood, something that you could argue is even more superficial than real-world systems of oppression based on, for instance, skin color or nationality. We as the reader are supposed to look at this society and say, wow, that's cruel and stupid, and then look at our society and see what kind of overlaps with it, which is, you know, a surprising amount. It's not very complex, as I said at the beginning, but I think it's worth thinking about how Hussey kind of just, every authority he is very skeptical of in Homestuck, and I think that's interesting. The politics...
Oh, great.
Man, I got through the whole thing without yawning or coughing or anything. Damn. This is all one take, by the way. The politics of Homestuck, when seldom they appear, all gesture towards a central theme. The people in power are cruel weirdos who are just as fucked up as anyone else. The Empress shits just like the rest of us. And I think that is a worthwhile political message to portray. And I think that it being uncomplicated actually reinforces it quite a bit. I don't think you really need a complicated critique of fascism. I think that we very luckily live in an era where most people are skeptical of fascism. And most people, when they see people preaching about actual Nazis and Italian-style fascism or whatever it might be, they rightfully call it out. And as for the liberal stuff with the Beforean trolls, I think that Hussey is kind of overcritical of a group of people who doesn't really have any political power. I don't know if he's vindictive or not. It's hard to say how vindictive Hussey is at any given time because he tries to appear as aloof, but also relentlessly mocks everyone who likes his work. So I don't really know what his actual opinions of Tumblr politics are. But I think that the Beforean trolls are certainly a very accurate insight into what was going on those websites at the time. I could have gone more in depth about Tumblr and how it was, but I don't want to because this has gone on for 30 fucking minutes and I've been talking for 30 minutes straight. What I want to emphasize, though, is every piece of literature or every piece of art has some kind of politics. We like to think about politics as being absent from things as a function of, like, being confronted by something. But some of the best works of fiction, like Spec Ops The Line, or I should have thought of another example before I said that sentence, but a lot of political stuff is very good. Or Brave New World, that's another one that's a good book that's very political. A very political game is BioShock. Those are very political, and people love them because they are not confronted by it. They're invited in by it. So I urge you to think of politics not as something to be avoided, but just another avenue of analysis. So, you know, if this made anyone smarter, did it by accident, did not mean to do that, I'm so sorry. And if it made anyone stupider, thank the fucking Lord. I hope you enjoyed this ranting diatribe about the politics of a dead webcomic. But I might do a follow-up on the politics of HS2. I'm kind of reticent to do that because it's not over yet, and I don't really know where it's going. It still seems like it's in the beginning phases of it, even though a whole new team took it over. So I do not really know. I have no idea what the scope of it is, so until I see the whole thing, I'm not really comfortable making a video. Thank you for listening. I hope you have an excellent day, and I hope you do not die by firing squad tomorrow. Goodbye.